All right, how about if you've got your Bibles tonight, you turn with us to the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. The book of Genesis, chapter number 1 is where we'll be this afternoon. We began last Wednesday night this thought on the book of Genesis and a series of sermons that we're going to entitled simply In the Beginning. And of course, last Wednesday night we didn't get very far. We covered the first four words and preached last week on the thought in the beginning, or in the beginning God. And tonight we're going to take it a little further and try our best if we can to get through chapter number 1 in tonight's message. If you want, we'll read the first verse just as a sake of text, and then we'll pray. And so if you want to stand up, you can. We'll just read the very first verse and use it for our text verse tonight and pray. And then you can be seated and we'll give you the thought for this afternoon. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that I serve a mighty God. God that is a creator. God that has enough power that He can step in the midst of nothing and speak and create everything. Lord, I'm glad that that's the kind of God that I serve tonight. And I pray, Father, that as we enter into this chapter, this great chapter, God, that You would illuminate our minds and give us clear direction and clear thoughts. Lord, help us as we preach to this congregation of believers tonight. Use us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever said something only to have what you said ignored? If you're a parent in the room tonight, the answer to that question, I guarantee you, is yes. Have you ever said something to a coworker or to a child, maybe even to a spouse, and check back in on them later and find out that what you asked to happen simply did not get done? I'm sure that you've all had that happen to you at one time or another. But in Genesis chapter 1, we learn something about God. In this chapter, we learn that when God speaks, things happen. Amen. Over and over and over again in chapter 1, we'll read these words, "And God said." And those words, "And God said," will be followed with these words, "And there was." You see, when God speaks, things happen. The psalmist said in Psalms 33 in verse number 9, he said, "For He spake," speaking of God, "for He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." What about that? God spoke, the psalmist said, and it was done. And we see that to be true in chapter number 1. Genesis 1 is undoubtedly one of the most fascinating chapters in the entire Word of God. When we read chapter 1 of Genesis, I think that we can do nothing but stand at the edge of creation in awe and wonder and marvel at the God that we serve. How amazing it is that we serve a God who can step into the middle of nothing. He simply will speak and create universes. We are still learning through science and technology the vastness of the universes and the planets. I don't think we'll ever fully understand how great this universe is that we live in, galaxies and so on and so forth. But according to Genesis chapter 1, God spoke it all into existence. I want you to look at verse number 1 and verse 2, and we'll say something out of these two verses, and then we'll give you our two points, I guess, for tonight. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." There are three books in your Bible that start with beginnings. Did you know that? They're the book of John, the book of Mark, and the book of Genesis. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, some have taken John 1:1 and said that that is the beginning of Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of God the Son. But that simply is not true. Instead of that being the beginning of God, what John is saying is this. When you go all the way back into the beginning, Jesus Christ, the Word, was already there. In the beginning already was the Word. He was there in the beginning of all things. You see, He is an eternal being, just like the Father is an eternal being. He always has been and He always will be. In the beginning was the Word. He was already there. Mark chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then in verse 2, he explains to us about the forerunner, John the Baptist. This is not to suggest that the gospel began with John the Baptist, but it is rather to suggest that the gospel began to be proclaimed with John the Baptist. You see, the gospel message goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. In fact, I submit to you that it was in the heart of God before the world was even created. Amen. You see, the gospel didn't begin with John the Baptist. The gospel began to be proclaimed by John the Baptist. And then we have Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Once again, this is misunderstood. Someone would read Genesis 1:1 and say, well, this is the beginning of God. But as we learned last week, that is not the case. Genesis 1 takes us into eternity past, and from there we learn that God already existed, and from His existence He brings everything into creation. I told you last week that Genesis 1 is undoubtedly the most God-centered chapter in all of the Bible. And all of the Scripture is God's story, I understand that. But this chapter mentions God more than any other chapter in the entire Word of God. 32 times we read God in Genesis chapter 1. And it is the name Elohim. You remember that from last week. The word Elohim, God, that plural noun, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And from that word, God, we learn two interesting things. We learn, number one, that the doctrine of what we call the Trinity, this triune God, this God that is three persons existing in one being. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, but yet He is one God. We also learn from that name that all three of the members of the Godhead were at work in the work of creation in Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says in Acts 4:24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that are in them is. Speaking of God the Father, You've made it all, they say. John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him is not anything made that was made. You see, God was at work in creation, and Jesus Christ was at work in creation. And then again we read in Psalms 104, verse number 30, Thou sendest forth Thy Spirit, they are created, and Thou renewest the face of the earth. The Spirit was at work in creation. As we look at this scripture, we see Elohim God. And this Elohim God speaks and creates everything. You realize that God is eternal, but matter is not eternal.
Amen.
Therefore, everything begins with the power of the Word of God. Creation did not begin with an amoeba, a single cell organism. It began with the voice of an almighty God. Amen. From nothing came forth all of creation.
Amen.
At first, when creation begins, verse number 2, the Bible says that there's darkness. Now, we do not know why we begin with darkness in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. There are many theories on why we have darkness in verse number 2. I have many thoughts on that. In fact, the more I think about it, the more I'm intrigued with it. But that is not my sermon for tonight. I cannot begin to get into the gap theory and the day-age theory and the revelation. I can't get into all that. But let me say this for tonight. We do not know why we have darkness for sure in verse number 2. How we got to this place. But we know this. We know that the description of the earth at this point, verse 1, He creates the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, here is the description of the earth. It is dark, it is formless, and it is void. That's where we're at. As we continue to read in verse 2, we learn that the Spirit of God moves. That word moves in verse number 2 literally means broods, is what it means. It is like a hen brooding over its eggs. It says the Spirit of God broods. He moves over this dark void. And from that, God begins to bring forth something beautiful. I wonder if God isn't painting us a picture here, by the way, in verse number 2. Think of something with me, please. Verse 2, the earth is dark and formless and void until the Spirit of God moves upon it. What a beautiful picture that is. You say, what's that a picture of, preacher? It's a picture of salvation. You understand that your heart and your life is dark and formless, and it is void without God. But when the Spirit of God moves upon your soul and He moves in your life from that dark, formless void, God brings something beautiful inside of you in the work of salvation. Dr. Warren Wiersbe points out that there's a pattern to everything that God does, and there's certainly a pattern to creation. Dr. Wiersbe points out that first of all, God forms, and then God fills. He forms the heavens and the earth, the land masses, the seas. And once He finishes forming, He then fills those things. He fills the sky with birds, and He fills the land with plants, and He fills the water with fishes. God forms and then God fills. And if you'll allow me to, I would like to borrow Dr. Wiersbe's thought tonight and give you those two points. Number one, I want to say God forms. Look at verse number 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. If all of creation is not mysterious enough, then the first day of creation is certainly mysterious. On the first day, we are told that God steps out into this dark, formless void, and this is what God says, let there be light. And the Bible says there was light. We know that. Here's what we don't know. Where does that light come from? Wait a minute. You say, well, it come from the sun. No, God doesn't create the sun until the fourth day. He said, let there be light. And there was light. But where does the light come from? May I submit to you that the light probably come from God Himself. Yes. John chapter 1 verse 4 and verse 5 says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 104 verse 2, who covereth thyself with light as with a garment. He said God is wrapped in light like it is a clothing, a cloak that He wears. So in chapter 1 of Genesis, God says, let there be light, and from God Himself shines forth light upon the earth. Amen. He said, well, I don't know about that, preacher. Well, I know this. I know that according to Revelation chapter number 22, when that city of New Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven, I read this about that city. Revelation 22, 5 says, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." You know what that means? It means that when we enter eternity and we live in the city of New Jerusalem, there will be no moon, there will be no sun, there will be no candle. You'll not have outlets in your homes to flip on light switches, but there will be a God who dwells with His people, and He is a God of light, and from Him produces enough light that we don't even need the luminaries of the sky. God is light. Therefore, on the first day, God is establishing a principle. On the first day, He says, "Let there be light." Here's the principle. Nothing can exist without light.
Amen.
We know that even today, plants, humans, other things can't live as well as they could if they don't have light. We know that. But can I also say this? You cannot live in eternity without the light of life, which is Jesus Christ. Therefore, before God makes anything, He says there must be light first. And before you can live, before God can create anything beautiful in you, you have to have the light. You have to have Jesus Christ. God also establishes another principle on the first day of creation. Do you know what it is? It is the principle of Bible separation. Sure it is. Look at your verse. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good." And what does He do in verse 4? "And God divided the light from the darkness." You know what God does in this verse? He establishes a principle of separation. God separates the light from the darkness. Later, He will separate the day from the night, the waters above from the waters below, the land from the waters. We don't like to talk about separation much in churches, but God was separating on the very first day.
Amen.
And He still hasn't changed His mind about the fact that you need to be separated on some things.
Amen.
What about that, Grandpa? I threw in separation in a creation message. Stay away from some stuff. Amen? Verse 6. "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made a firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." On the second day, God places a barrier between the waters. And He separates the upper water from the lower water. This barrier is what you and I call the sky. The Scripture calls it heaven, is what it calls it. But it's not talking about the heaven that you think of when you think of heaven. In fact, do you realize there are three heavens? There's the cloudy heaven that you see directly above you. Above that, there's the starry heaven. And then finally, there's the third heaven, or the dwelling place of God. The word firmament in these verses is the Greek word rakia. R-A-Q-I-A. Rakia. And it means literally this: a space of air. God created, therefore, on the second day, the sky. And it appears that before the sky, there was no barrier between these waters. The water just covered the earth like a blanket. And therefore, God places a divider, a sky between them. And the lower waters become eventually the oceans, the seas. And the upper waters will become the waters that will flood the earth in Noah's day. Verse 9. "And God said, let the water under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He Sees, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. On the third day, we read that God once again divides the waters. On day two, he divided the water like this, up and down. On day three, he divided the water like this, side to side. And God divides the water from side to side, and when he does so, the dry land appears. And we see in these verses that God is not only acting in creation, but he's acting in naming. Do you see it? He divides it and he says, I'll call the water seas and I'll call the dry land earth. This is not the only naming he does. He names the day and the night. He names the earth and the seas. He names the sun and the moon. And God is naming as well as creating. On the third day, we read a common phrase that we're familiar with in the work of creation, but it's spoken for the first time on the third day, and it is this: God looks at what he's done, and he declares, it is good. And can I say that God's creation was good then, and God's creation is still good today.
Amen.
God did a good work when he did the work of creation. On day three, God not only divides the water from side to side and allows the dry land to appear, but he creates plant life on the third day. From the dry land, God causes grass and fruit trees and other herbs to come forth. After creating them, God commands that they replenish, that they produce fruit and do so after their kind. That simply means this: an apple tree would produce seeds that would in turn produce more apple trees. God did this for two purposes. One, he did it for the purpose of sustaining his creation. He would speak the first day and create, but from that point forward, creation would create. Creation would reproduce. God would not step forward again and create. He did it for the purpose of sustaining his creation. But he also did it for the purpose of placing an order to his creation. God said, apple trees, bring forth apples, not oranges. Pear trees, you bring forth pears. Grapevines, you have grapes. You've never seen a grapevine grow apples, have you? A pear tree with bananas? No. An apple tree with cherries? No. You know what God is doing? He's not only sustaining his creation, he's placing an order in his creation.
Amen.
Now wait a minute. Just like we don't like separation, we don't like limits. But here is our God putting limits on what he creates. The apple tree could say, well, that's not fair that I can't produce cherries. But God said it was to be that way. And God did not do it for the purpose of harming his creation, but he did it so that his good creation would stay good.
Yes.
Can I say, anytime we do not apply limits to our life, we take things that God intends for good and we turn them to bad. God put limits on you and God put limits on me, not to harm us, but to keep us good.
Amen.
God forms. Number two, God fills. Verse 14. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. The evening and the morning were the fourth day. I mentioned to you that In creation, God not only formed, but he filled. Beginning on the fourth day, God starts the work of filling. God begins by filling the skies. He creates the sun to rule the day, and he creates the moon to rule the night. And almost just as a side note in verse 16, like it's almost like Moses says, and oh, by the way, he made the stars also. These stars that are light years away from us, these stars that it takes hundreds and thousands of years for their light to reach the earth, just our God in the work of creation. And oh, by the way, that's how great our God is.
Amen.
Light had already appeared on the first day. Now God just concentrates the light. And he concentrates the light into two heavenly bodies, a sun and a moon. And then God says something interesting. I not only want them to divide the light from the day, but I want them to be used. Used for days and weeks and months and years and seasons. God had a purpose to everything that he did. Verse 14 tells us that he did this for the purpose of signs, seasons, days and years. Years later, this same God will give to the Jewish people things like holy days, Sabbath days, Sabbath years, seasons where they were to worship and celebrate and do certain things. These people would need the sun. They would need the moon to tell them what day it was, what year it was, what season it was. How could they follow the feasts, the holy days, the holy years, if God had not given them something to keep track of it?
Amen.
And so this God that creates looks into the future and says, they'll need these lights one day to keep up with some things. Let me ask you a question. How could the three wise men... We say three. How could the three wise men roll up into Bethlehem and say, excuse me, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. How could they have said that had God not put the stars in the sky on day four? Verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth and the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowls multiply on the earth. The evening and the morning were the fifth day. Now God fills both the sky and the water. Not only does God fill them, but we're told that he fills them abundantly. God makes birds to fly in the sky, and he makes fishes to swim in the sea. And we run across a word again in these verses that we found a little bit ago, and it's this word. It's the word kind. The Bible says that he made them after their kind. That word kind is an interesting word, and it's an important word. This word means that God created one in a species, and from that development was made, and others came about. For example, on the next day, he'll make animals after their kind. It means simply this. God made canine. God didn't make a Cocker Spaniel and a Yorkie and an Australian Shepherd. And God made a kind. He made one. And development come from that point forward. You say, why is that important? It's important when Noah starts loading up an ark full of animals. And he brings them two by two. He didn't bring every type of dog. He said, I need two of you. And he brought a kind into that ark. Does that make sense? On the third day, we read that God made and God declared it's good. Yes. On the fifth day, God not only declares that it's good, but now He blesses it. God's blessing upon the birds and upon the fish allowed them to reproduce abundantly. Later, God will bless the first man. He'll bless the first Sabbath. He'll bless Noah and his family. And then we won't read a blessing again for 2,000 years until a man by the name of Abraham. Not quite 2,000 years, but Abraham will be blessed, and that blessing will not only be good for him, but it'll be good for all of us.
Amen.
He said, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. It's still a blessing to us today. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind. And everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, God saw that it was good. We see that kind over and over. God's telling us something here. God said, verse 26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he, him, male and female created he, them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God said, behold, I've given every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree, and the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, for you it shall be for meat. To every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given green herb for meat. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Having filled the heavens, filled the sky, filled the waters, God now fills the earth. God creates animals. God creates man to rule over the earth on the sixth day. And God finished his creation. Now this is interesting. We know that God, according to chapter 2, makes man out of what? The dust of the earth, right? Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man in the dust of the ground. But according to our text, God made animals the very same way. Verse 24 of chapter 1, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. God, from the earth, from the dust, made not only man, but he made animals as well. Why do you think that when an animal dies, it decomposes and goes back to the dust just like you do? Because that's where it come from. In fact, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 19, he said, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Every one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so doth the other die. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go into one place. All are of the dust. All turn to dust again. Solomon said, in death, you're no better than any other animal. You're going back to the dust.
Yes.
Amen.
While both animals and man came from the same place, there is a difference between the two. We read that God formed man in his own image. It seems that when you read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, when it came time for the creation of man, it was a special event. For 6 days, God had been speaking and God had been creating. But when it comes time to create man, according to verse 26, it's almost like there's a pause. Let there be light. Let the water be divided. Let the cattle come forth. But there's a pause. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. It's almost like God is working and God is creating. And then it comes time for man and God stops. And the God Trinity gets together and they agree that they will create this man. In the very next chapter, chapter 2, verse 7, it'll say that the Lord God formed man in the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. The word formed in chapter 2, verse 7, that word formed speaks of a master sculptor who is creating a masterpiece. God made many wonderful things. He made the galaxies and the stars and the sun and the earth. But man was his masterpiece. Notice also that while the body of man comes from the dust of the earth, the life of man comes from God Himself. Amen. For God breathed into man and he become a living soul. Adam, that first man, was different than all of creation because he was a living soul formed in the likeness of the God that made him. Therefore, it makes sense when we read in Acts 17:28, in him we live and move and have our being. Man was the first of all creation made after the image of God. That's the reason that we have minds to think, emotions to feel, personalities to make us unique, wills to make decisions. In fact, we've got an inner spirit inside of us called conscience that guides us in right and wrong.
Amen.
We're made in the image of God. God said something very interesting. God said, I will make man and I will give him dominion over the earth. Adam was the very first king, if you will, of the earth. He ruled. He had dominion before he fell. God gave Adam all authority. What does that mean? You do with this what you want to. But Adam ruled over the earth. Oh, That means a whole lot more than Adam was an exalted gardener.
Yes.
Means more than that. It means that Adam would speak and the animals would do what he said to do. He had dominion. Adam would speak and the earth would do what he said to do. I wonder if Adam couldn't control the seasons. Control the waters. He had dominion, the Bible says. I don't know. But I do know this. I do know when the second Adam shows up, he'll step out on a boat and say, stop it! And the waves will lay down and the winds will stop blowing.
Amen.
He'll take a few fish and a few loaves, and he will pray, and they will begin to reproduce in his hand until he's fed 5,000 and there's 12 baskets left over.
Yes, amen. Amen.
And you do with this what you want to, but one day the Lord's coming back, and he will rule over the earth again, and he will place man back into his place of dominion.
Amen.
We will rule and reign with him, the Bible says. For 1,000 years. What about that? With all this done, God looks at His creation and He declares for the very first time, not only is it good, but it's very good. God made the earth and He gave it to us as a gift. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, Paul says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. And then he puts this, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. When you eat a meal, you should praise Him for His gift. When you see the sunshine, you should praise Him for His gift. When the rain falls upon the land, you should praise Him for His gift. When you survey the mountains and you stand at the foot of the oceans and you see the beauties of nature, you should praise Him for His gift. Because God made it all and He gave it to us. Psalms 145 verse 9, I'll finish with this. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. God's good, and His work is good, and He has given it to you and I. Father, I thank You for the opportunity that we've had to be here tonight, the opportunity to study from Your Word. Lord, I stand in awe of this God that I serve. I cannot fathom how big and how great You are, but I'm glad that You showed me favor and You showed me kindness. I'm glad that a God that's so big that He can speak and create galaxies also chose to speak to my heart as a 14-year-old boy, come into my life and save me. I stand in awe that there's a God big enough to create the galaxies, but also lives inside of me. Thank You for this beautiful gift that You've given to us. Thank You for this life that You've let us live. God, You're good and we love You. In Jesus' name, amen.